The following is a Live the Dream Media production.
All right, go ahead and start us up there, buddy.
All right.
All right, we're back. There we are.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Sorry about that, guys. Sometimes little things happen. We're new at this, and how you doing?
I'm awesome.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Hey, Scott, welcome back to the United States, buddy.
Thank you. Glad to be back. I'm moving at the speed of jet lag, so and still speaking Spanish in my head. So as soon as we get some of that sorted out, we'll be in good shape.
Hey, not real quickly, but tell us what you've been doing the last 10 days.
Yes. So what I've been doing is I cruised down on a medical missions trip to Ecuador, and we went everywhere from the highlands to the Amazon rainforest, and we did medical and dental for about 800 patients.
Wow. And
they were mostly kids, so that was an amazing experience. And, you know, I think it ties into one of the things that we're talking about today with how people get categorized into boxes. Mm-hmm. And because, like, when you see a true need and you're in there in the rainforest with people that have nothing and you're there to provide medical and dental, like, none of the stuff that matters that we fight over around mm-hmm. here, care, mm-hmm. that doesn't matter at all anymore. And so that's what I really appreciated about it.
You know, cool. Shout out to Oral Valley Church of the Nazarene this morning, you know, for doing that. I mentioned to my wife, I saw several pictures from the trip, and every picture you had a patient with you. The stethoscope was in. I didn't see any, you know, vacation pictures from you.
No, I was hustling. I got
well, 800, my gosh.
I got a crash course in basic dentistry, and, you know, I'm still a paramedic, so I got some medical background, and before you know it, I was milking abscesses and helping yank teeth, and it was quite.
And we should have maybe issued a disclaimer if anyone's still having breakfast before we get to that episode.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, welcome to the first live broadcast of The Drop. Yeah. We're happy to be here. There's been a lot of planning that's been going on for this. And, of course, we've already had a couple little hiccups this morning. But, you know, we're still technically in our testing testing stage. And it's everything we're doing here, we're taking notes. Okay, what worked, what didn't? Because it's all kind of a new thing. Like, people do live stuff all the time. But if you ever want to come and take a tour of kind of how everything's being built here, this is going to be a model that can be used in multiple rooms in like a really effective way, a cost effective way. So it's kind of like, we're not just going here to just do this live thing. It's so much more than that. Cause we have to get ready for this fall.
Yeah, we got, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of conversations are taking place over here.
Yeah.
Part of it, cool. You know what? I am so blessed. You hear me? If you know me, you'll know where I'm going. To be surrounded by such talented people makes this really easy and a lot of fun. And I want to throw a number out there, 520, but 373-2055 or 2059, 373-2059, if you want to call in and chat with us, share with us what's on your mind. You can also hit us up on Facebook in the chat.
Hey, so what do you think about this TikTok ban?
Are we going to go there this early, huh?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to jump right into this.
You know what? I think it's crazy. I don't want to get political, but I think it's crazy that you would pick this season to do it in, especially when the demographic seems to be so young. Mm-hmm. And I read something the other day, and I think I agree with this. We allow the Chinese to buy our property, our buildings, our corporations, our educational system.
Yeah.
But now we're going to ban TikTok. Right now, to me, it kind of defies logic. Not that I don't have concerns about it.
Right.
And not that I don't think that TikTok is like a vast wasteland for the most part. Mm-hmm. But the timing of it seems odd to me.
Yeah, there's a lot.
What do you think?
Well, there's a lot of conspiracy theories going on, right? And we don't got to dive into all of them because people have been already. I think everybody has been
everything's
on TikTok.
A conspiracy anymore, David.
Everything is a conspiracy right away when anything happens. People start picking apart every single thing to make it fit maybe their idea and agenda in it. But we won't get into that. And I'm not going to say anybody's right or wrong. You know, I'm just talking to it as a standpoint in the industry that we're in. Gary V hit the nail on the head. I think it was about 2 or 3 days ago. He was addressing this at a public event he was at. And he said that no matter what happens, the attention's going to go somewhere.
Absolutely.
Right? So think of it as attention is currency, right? So all that currency that's inside of TikTok, well, if it gets shut down, it's going to go to something else, right? And people are going to say, oh, well, it's going to go to the Facebook and the Instagram and stuff like that. That, yes, likely.
Some
but
will leak there.
Yeah. There's one thing, one dynamic nobody's really talking about that I think it should be addressed is this is still an open market.
It's a wild west.
It's a wild west. So everything's still new, right? So going into the Spotify movie or documentary thing we watched called The Playlist on Netflix.
Highly recommended if you're into geeky stuff and tech stuff.
And business.
And right? business, I mean, all business 101.
Yeah, so thinking about that, right? Spotify changed the game. TikTok definitely changed the game, right?
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
Its platform is incredible. And we saw...
Well, it's because of the reels.
Well, don't say reels.
What do you want me to say?
TikTok video? Are you talking about Instagram?
No, I'm talking about just reels as video.
Okay, because reels is owned by Meta.
Well, I understand, but I just mean video as a whole. I'm using a generic term of video.
Don't worry, Mark. I got you, bro. I got
you. Live action. TikTok changed that because up until that, everything was static content.
Right.
So we'll use video rather than reels. But I mean, the live action videos and the more absurd, the better.
Yeah.
Is what drove that. Now everybody's leaning into reels or whatever their version of that is.
Yeah. It's
and Gary V's 100%. If you want to pronounce, why am I having a difficult time this morning? Lack of coffee. If you want somebody that can pick the future for you, Gary V is as good as anybody I'm aware of. Fair enough.
Yeah, he's been pretty spot on. But as far
he's wrong once in a while. But
as far as the app going away, I think the world will be okay. But I don't think it's going to happen.
How could it really?
Yeah. How do you force something like that? So let's talk about economics.
Let me go back to real quick. You want to talk about conspiracies?
Yeah.
Trump's financial advisor, Mnuchin, is putting together a package or group to buy TikTok.
Yeah.
So we're going to go from, and this gets political.
Oh,
is that where you're at?
You're in there, huh?
Well, that's a fact. He's putting together a group.
All right.
With power investors to actually buy TikTok.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. What do you think, Scott? Do you think, I mean, what is it to you? What does it mean to you? How do you feel about it?
Well, for those of us that have been deep in the Amazon rainforest for the last week,
he's cleansed.
I have no idea what you're even talking about. So it sounds like there's a ban on TikTok.
Well, they're trying to.
They're trying to.
So for those of us, if you could maybe dumb it down a little bit as to what happened in the last few days.
I thought that was pretty dumb.
I was dumbed out as much as I can go. How many days were you gone?
I'm not one of those guys that even though you have international travel plans and you have like the phone stuff and all of that, I chose to be present, man.
I chose
to be present, to be in it with the people the whole time. And so I was out of touch. There were some folks that were staying pretty connected, but I was not one of those other than just to check on my wife and when we had a hot spot, that was all I was doing.
Yeah.
So I was truly off the grid.
That's an awesome answer. You know, I try to do that news embargoes every now and then, you know, every 2 or 3 months. It's like, I just don't need to know everything right now.
Yeah.
You know, let me take a break from this for a day or two a week.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming.
Okay, you were going to go somewhere else, and I brought us back to TikTok.
Economics
of it, right? So where's the hands-off aspect of this, right? The one thing for me out of all of it that really draws my attention is the government getting involved in business.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of the allure now of social media or digital media. It's more digital media to me than social media, but it is the Wild West. There's really no governing body. There's no regular. Think about this. 100 years ago, if we're trying to put together a radio station, you got to get the permits, you got to get the towers. It sometimes took a couple of years. And here, basically, if you want to get in the broadcast world or industry, you can be in there in 20, 30 minutes if you got a phone.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, technically, yeah.
Well, yeah, actually, it takes about 30 seconds. If you got a phone, you're in.
And you can curse.
You can say anything you want to do.
Yeah. I mean, until they censor you or you get a,
right.
you get, you know, fact-checked or whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's just a really, that's the one thing that kind of draws my attention is there's the dynamic of the economic aspect of it, but there's also the freedom of speech issue. Yeah. And that's one of the dark ones where everybody's like, well, that's not cool. Like, so are we, you know, like, is, for instance, are we going to start treating graffiti that way? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're just going to be watching for people to do graffiti, are they going to put in those kind of efforts? No, we're not, right? So the fact that we want to shut down an app to keep people from communicating,
yeah,
it is like, on a big scale.
For me, the only thing with TikTok, other than it's definitely geared for a much younger group, I've spent very little time on there. It's just the free speech that you can obtain kind of whatever you need to say, but it's the fact that it's owned by the Chinese or pseudo owned by the Chinese. I thought they had that fixed when it came into existence here. Didn't they kind of like clean that up at the beginning?
I don't know.
Like a couple of years ago, weren't we fighting this battle then? Was they had to divest of their Chinese ownership to, you know, American ownership?
Something like that.
I thought they did.
Yeah. So I'm not a big avid user of TikTok, but I literally had a video go viral probably like a month ago.
Like 3 million?
2.2 million.
Yeah.
But I'm like, all right, right before. I don't care. Like, I don't make money on there or anything, and it's not our dominant platforms that we use here. But I was like, this is ironic.
Yeah.
Just when I started getting things going. I was like.
It was a pretty funny one.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
But yeah, no, I kind of wanted to jump on that. I mean, if you have any opinions you want to share, I mean, you're welcome to call in 520-373-2059 on that, or you can write it in the chat, because Clint and I, what can we see on the screen? We can see the chat. It's part of the whole setup. It's really cool.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, the biggest thing for me is the Chinese ownership.
Yeah.
In a previous life, I was a day trader, and at one point, you could make a lot of money in the Chinese solar and stuff like that, and I got in there, and I played with it, and then it was like, do I need to be, not that I'm anti-Chinese or anything, but they've never really been an ally to the American, you know, a way of life. Mm-hmm. Their lifestyle, or at least their government, is counter to what we do.
Right.
And so I just clear myself was like, yeah, I'm gonna invest only in American products,
right.
American companies.
Yeah.
So,
hey Scott, what kind of weather are we dealing with today and the next couple of days?
You know, that's a great question. I like that you're asking questions.
I go. Where you at? Why were you asking?
Seeing if he had it.
Yeah, right. So that was going to be one of the things that we're going to stay dialed in on, and I'm like, let me check my phone, bro.
No, that's all we got to do. I mean, we're trying to work a deal with. A place here, in the early stages.
So. I forgot about that.
Yeah, you know, the whole FCC thing is becoming FCC in the AM radio.
You know, it's a great question that you asked me about the weather, because today it's going to be, it's 53 right now.
Okay.
And it's going to get up to about 72, which is beautiful.
Yes,
that's beautiful.
Anybody golfing today, you're in a good special place. Because it's gonna, that frost is gonna burn off. It's at 53 right now, and as soon as we fire in that warmer weather, you're gonna have a great day. You're gonna have a great day regardless, but today is gonna be extra special because of weather.
See why we're so excited to have him back?
Yeah, yeah.
We missed you. It felt like a month.
Yeah.
Oh well, you guys are sweet. Yeah, I appreciate being back in here, because it was great. We're going to do as many of these different shows and things as we can to just change the game and be disruptors. And that's the whole purpose. That's what we talked about in our meetings, is like, it's time to get alternative viewpoints out there. It's time to get people that are interested in bringing folks together rather than dividing them.
Amen. Yep.
And, we could care less about some political affiliations and some things. We want to know what you're all about and what your plans are about. So That's what we're excited.
That's it.
I love
well,
it.
Well, this our work here is done for this morning.
Yeah, let's just the show is complete. We're good.
Hey, you know everything you just said is our philosophies around here. We want open opinion. We want people to be able to honestly express themselves.
Yeah.
If you got a viewpoint, let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Say the quiet parts out loud once in a while. It's okay.
Yeah.
If you got a question, ask it.
Yeah.
Of us, of anyone, if you really don't understand something,
yeah,
try to find, and it's important to you, try to find an answer to it. There are no, how many times, I know this has happened to me. You may be in a group of people or a business discussion, and you felt like you wanted to ask a question. You just felt, and you didn't. And then later down the road, you discover everyone in the room had the same kind of like, there was questions to be answered, and none of us, for whatever reason, didn't want to be the one person to raise their hand. Well, I don't think there's any dumb questions, just dumb answers occasionally. You know, if you got a real legitimate question you want to ask somebody, why don't you just ask it?
Yeah.
Now, they're not required to answer it, per se, unless they're sitting in a, you know, in a witness stand. Mm-hmm. Even then, you can got the Fifth Amendment thing you can get away with, but...
Okay, so I got a dumb question for you.
Yeah. Ask it.
So why do you feel that rather than bringing people together, so much of the mainstream media is trying to divide us?
I think, can I jump in here?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we were talking before this show, because every episode we're going to bring in some kind of conversation that has to do with the whole existence of the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the whole keeping people in a box thing, right? So, listeners and viewers, if you haven't realized at this point in your life, and this is the first time you're hearing this, I'm sorry, but there are a lot of things and elements, including your legacy in mainstream media, that wants you in some sort of box. You go, why? Why do they want me in a box? You can't do much in a box. When you're locked in that box, when you're categorized by your gender, by your race, your beliefs, your political affiliations, you get sucked into this box, and they want to keep you in that box. Because if you get out of that box and you can look up or look down on that box and all the other boxes that are going on, you're up there, they don't like that. And you go, well, who's they? Well, I would say it's the mainstream media and anybody else that's working with them. It's obviously happening, blatantly obvious, right? And it frustrates me so much when I see somebody putting themselves in a box, for one, but allowing others to put
David,
them in that box.
Everyone puts themselves in the box.
Yeah. Well, why is
no
that?
No one actually, unless you've been incarcerated, actually no one is physically placed in a box. Well, it's mind control. It's a mindset. It's it's generations and evolution of, this is how you should do. You should pick a side. You should pick a tribe. And as Chris DeSimone says, often your vibe creates your tribe. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you create a vibe? I'm going to get all biblical. Love God, love your neighbor. Mm-hmm. Let that be your core. And if you start from there, then now I want, honestly, and you know this, everyone in this room feels this way. We're not rooting against anybody. We want everyone to win.
Facts.
Literally.
Yeah.
But most people are programmed not to feel that way, and we start doing it with our sports. And I mean, I grew up in Cardinal country being a Cub fan. There was serious hostility between people because of the sports teams that they rooted for.
Right.
Literally, there were people that couldn't be friends with each other because of, I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
Root for the red team, root for the blue team, root for the green team. I don't care. But when it's over, you know, politics used to be that way. I'm actually not so... I mean, I'm old enough to remember when politicians actually of different political parties and agendas got together and drank a lot and partied a lot and did their thing in Washington or whatever their state capitals. There's none of that. Are you kidding me? Matter of fact, as recent as, I'm trying to think of the name, Tip O'Neill and, gosh, somebody help me out, one of my older brothers or sisters, Tip O'Neill and... him and Ronald Reagan were buddies, but different parties, and they would argue all day long about politics, but at the end of the day, let's go have a brandy. We're going to have some steak. We're going to pat each other on the back. We like each other. We're going to each other's Christmas parties and mm-hmm. children's birthday parties. That's out. Can you imagine the political parties today? I won't even throw names into the mix. Going to each other's birthday parties and stuff. Are you kidding me right now? They literally hate each other.
Yeah.
Well, is that the United States? That we hate each other? United means it's okay to disagree. By the way, is there a box that someone's supposed to live in? I don't know about this box that you speak of.
Yeah. Well, you're not in the box.
Where is it? There is a box?
Yeah, but you don't. I mean, we were talking about you, right? Like your early years, and I said something to you, and you're like, "Well, yeah, I guess." Yeah. Well, you were in the military. Yeah. You were in a box.
Yeah.
You were told what to do.
When and to do it.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you got to learn structure and everything, right? Because
exactly.
that benefits you and creates habits down the long run. Yeah. I'm sure Scott would say the same thing. I know the fire academy is probably one of the hardest things that you know, close to the military and other things, but. You have to learn habits and whatnot, which is okay. And I'm not saying that it's not okay to be – I'm not saying, hey, you can't – nobody can be in a box. If you choose to be in that box, by all means, live in that box. Go for it. Whatever. But I'm telling you, there's other ways to life where you don't have to be classified as all of these things.
Self-classified.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm this, and this.
Yeah.
No, you're a human being.
Yeah. And then when you – here's the other part about when there are people that are in a box – when you're not in a box and they're trying to tell you how to address things from that box while you're not in there.
Yeah.
Right? They send you an email. It says some stupid stuff there in their title. And you're like,
we get some of those. Don't
yeah.
We?
I'm like, hey, do you in that box? That's what I, so when I see that kind of stuff where someone says, I want to be known as blah, 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 or this and this. Okay, cool. That's your box.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
To me, that is it's small thinking.
It's limiting.
Yeah, and you're limiting yourself, and you're you have allowed yourself, or chosen. There's a lot of people that have chosen to be in these boxes.
I think they all choose to be in.
Hey, everybody's you live with your free will. No one's going to stop you. But let's think about big picture here. Why is that happening? What is the benefit of being in that box? Are you going to be fed in that box by that? Is that are these classifications going to pay your bills? Is it going to take care of your family? Is it values you want to instill in the future?
Is it
going
to allow you to live your best life?
Exactly.
Most fulfilled, most rewarding, most sharing, most giving. Matter of fact, we're doing it in reverse. It should start with giving. It should start with sharing. It should start with compassion. It should start with listening. I was thinking this morning as I was coming in and getting ready to come in, I thought, I talk a lot. If I only got paid by the word, I'd be in good shape. Not that I'm not, but I'd be in much better shape. But I listen and pride myself in listening when I'm not talking as we are now. I'm really listening. I'm watching. I'm observing. And then the other, so it's a third. And the other part of my waking day, I'm acting on what I've said, heard, or done, or seen someone else do. So I'm trying to mold that execution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people, again, just miss their best life because they're trying to live up to someone else's expectations. And you ask why or how, it's deliberate.
Right.
Our education, our parents are trained, education does it, then big media reinforces it. The fourth legacy doesn't exist anymore other than in this format.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you read every day about the fall of another legacy empire.
Yeah.
You know,
why is that?
Because they're not telling the truth. They're not encouraging people to act. They're trying to tell people what to do.
And what to think.
And what to think and how to think and when to think and when to do all these things when they should be encouraging you. Here's the reality. Not everybody is going to be an innovator or a creator or an inventor or any of that. That's okay. Matter of fact, we need a lot of imitators. Like you said earlier, it's not wrong to go with a large group and be involved. It's great. But know what your purpose is while you're doing it.
Right.
So many people just – I'm going to use again the children of Israel. You notice my hands are a little slower.
They're a little
today.
More tucked in there.
Well, that's another story for another day. But the children of Israel wandered around in the desert for 40 years to go 12 miles. Now, I understand that was in a totally different era than what we live in now. We think 12 miles, we can go 12 miles in in 12 minutes. Scott was going 12 miles in the air in seconds, basically. Yeah. So the time and travel is a little different, but still 40 years is 40 years.
Right.
To just wander around out in the desert with no real leadership or direction, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where most people are. We're just wandering around out in the desert and we're bouncing to and fro. And I want a purpose. I want a mission. I believe Napoleon Hill, I believe firmly that if you have a passion, a vision, a goal that you can almost touch or taste or feel, you're going to achieve some portion of that. I always coach myself up and say it won't look exactly like I think it looks at the outset, but it's going to probably be better because if I keep showing up every day and just keep pounding that rock, it's going to break at some point.
Yeah.
And which blow broke it? All of them. Do you see that? You pull back.
Well, you bring up something, too, that you know I didn't address when I was talking about it. It's okay. If you're in a box up, like you're in a career, right? That's technically, you would say, oh, yeah, well, that's it's a box, could be. I would say no in that aspect because you, again, choose, is that your whole identity, that career? Like for me, I was a law enforcement officer. I chose to do that. I felt like it was a calling, right? I felt like I had the abilities, the gifts, the opportunity to do that. And I loved every bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't make that my identity, right? When I was out and about, I was doing other things. I was doing music. I was doing social media, helping other people. I was still kind of doing all this stuff on the side. I didn't choose to let that be the box that I was in. I was doing that thing, but I didn't stay in the box. So what I'm saying in that aspect too is like I don't want you to think like David, you're kind of just telling if anybody's working a career. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying everybody has to pay their bills and do things.
Yeah,
but you can work outside of the box while you're doing the career thing. But don't let yourself be classified and identified by that.
Thank goodness most people are most comfortable in that environment.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if there's a bunch of Clint Davids and Scotts running all over the place? I mean, honestly, at some point, something has to actually get done. And by yourself, you can't get much done. A large group of people following a solid leader with a great vision can get a whole lot done. By myself, I can get nothing done. So I need a bunch of people such as yourself and Scott and the Antons and the people of the world that I'm surrounded by as we push towards a common goal to try to accomplish things that I want to accomplish, things you want to accomplish. It's not all my mission. It's our missions collectively.
Right.
And running together and helping each other, we're pulling each other. Everybody's boat keeps rising in our circle. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah,
you think that's by accident?
No.
Partly it's because of a vision that we have, but it's partly because we've surrounded ourselves with people that have a similar vision. Well, we're all pulling together. We're not pulling against each other. Look at situations like I grew up in the Midwest, a lot of rural. I haven't been there in years, but I can see what's going on. There's not a lot of people really coming together and working together. You can see it because the drug addiction, especially in the rural areas, methamphetamine is just ravaging.
Really?
The countryside. Oh, it's bad.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. What do you do in a small community that doesn't really offer? You almost have to go to the big city. Well, what happens when you get to the big cities? They're even worse, right? Our 50 largest cities in the United States are just in decay.
Yeah.
If you don't believe that, go to one of the 50 largest cities in the United States and drive around.
Yeah.
We got a mess down here south of where we're at.
Yeah. And Phoenix is pretty bad, too.
Phoenix is insane.
I was telling you, I went to a concert last summer, and I was walking down.
Downtown Phoenix.
Downtown Phoenix. Saturday morning.
High-rises everywhere and fancy resorts and restaurants.
Yeah.
And
Saturday morning, 8 a.m., going to get coffee. And there's just people everywhere nodding off and smoking fentanyl and heroin just in the open while you're walking down the sidewalk.
Just say no. Yeah, that worked out real well, didn't it?
I mean, you had somebody in here not too long ago. His name was Edgar. And he was touching on the homelessness issue, and he's like, I went to several different camps and everything. He's like, there's no families there. There's no mom and her kids inside these homeless camps.
Actually, you know what he really said? I said homeless, and you know what he said?
Oh, no, unhoused.
No, he said it's a drug problem.
Drug problem. Yeah. Yeah.
A drug and mental illness
right.
problem.
Right. Yeah.
It's, that typically go in the homeless environment hand in hand, by the way, unfortunately.
Yeah. Hey, Scott, I know you're busy in there, but we have to go to our ads. So
somebody got to pay for this.
No, we don't. No, we don't. Not yet. I got a I got a call. I'm just grabbing a call right now.
Yeah,
I'm
got you.
Punch
got
him through.
All right, who do you got?
Bring it in. Bring it in.
I don't even know. Let's find out. Gosh.
We're supposed to vet these.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, good morning. It's all good. Oh,
okay.
Man, we were kind of sweating it out there. Good morning, Mayor. How are you?
If things were any better, it'd be illegal.
Mayor Ed Honey of Marana, Arizona. Welcome to the show, Ed. How you doing?
Well, I love talking to you guys. How's everything going today?
Fantastic, fantastic. The sun came up. It's shining. It's going to be 70, 75.
72, sir.
72. I'm surrounding it. Hey, Ed. I let's just jump right into where we saw each other last. We saw each other Saturday at the 47th Founders Day of Marana, the 47th year of the founding of Marana. And we had a ball, didn't we?
Wasn't that a beautiful event, guys? I said you get to talk to, first of all, it was a beautiful day.
Yes.
And secondly, you get to talk to so many friends and neighbors that maybe you don't see all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They're local people, and you know, they're able to stop and talk. I said I was looking at a picture I put on Facebook of that little 7-week-old miniature. Yeah, yeah. Everybody wanted to know if it was a guinea pig or something. Real horse, you know.
You know, and in that environment, people are slowed down. We're not rushing somewhere. There's time to visit, and I went home. My face was almost hurting from just smiling all day.
I thought you were going to say sunburn, because I was sunburned.
Were you? Oh, yeah. I never felt sunburned.
I got just lit up, man.
So many, literally thousands of people that we got to say hello to and smile and wave, and it was really cool. And I saw you up on the in the parade, doing the parade wave. You got a pretty good arm still. You about hit me with some
that old 1945 Mack fire truck.
Wow.
And you got a pretty good arm, Ed. You almost hit me with some candy from up there.
You know what? I said that's the whole thing. We have an officer that walks by with us to make sure a child, if we drop something by the vehicle or something. But, you know, to see those children and their parents and grandparents out there, just fresh air, having a good time in our beautiful community, and that's one of my highlights.
Yeah,
is actually candy to the children.
That's a fun event. That's 3 or 4 years in a row we've been, you know, involved in it. It's always a lot of fun.
And you can see the number of people increase.
Oh, absolutely.
Every time it was thick.
Well, you know why? Because you guys keep building more stuff out there, Ed.
Yeah, but I mean, some of the people we got to honor, 12 young ladies from Marana High School, most of them 14, 15 years old, won the West Regional and went to the Little League World Series.
That's incredible. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
And they were the parade marshal, and those lovely young ladies, we are so proud of them. And, you know, I was talking to one of their leaders, and they said the young ladies, you know, people were putting their state or their region or whatever. And those young women said, no, we are from Marana. They're from Marana High School. And we're going to put Marana on our shirt. And they actually gave me one.
Nice.
At an event. The only thing is those young ladies are not very big around. I said, I could probably get my arm in the shirt you gave me, but not the rest of my body. But, you know, it was so much fun, you know, to honor young people who honor us. And it was just a great event.
Yeah, it's fun. Hey, while we're talking events, next Saturday at the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery, we're going to honor a vet. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Well, Paul Marsh, I just can't say enough good things about him. There were a whole lot of people involved in getting that veteran cemetery in Marana. But the number one guy up front was Paul Marsh. And he came to see me years ago. And I'm a veteran, and I support veterans' things and everything. But Paul said, we want to build a veterans' cemetery. You know, all we need is about 40 or 50 acres of land and, you know, this and this and this. And although I was very supportive, I'm almost thinking it's a pipe dream. What that man did is he went to the Kai family, Herb and John Kai, and James Kai, who kind of runs the corporate, and they donated 42 acres of land. Then he got the feds involved. I think the feds put up $8 million to build the facility.
Wow.
And then he got state involved. They spend a couple hundred thousand dollars a year running the facility. And, you know, there are thousands of vets and their surviving spouses laid to rest at that beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And Paul's 93 years old and not in real good health right now. And the least we can do is honor this great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Ed, I went there with you one time. I think it was last summer, right?
Right.
And you showed me a part of that memorial that really hit me. And it was the area of like the unclaimed soldiers.
Well, you know, the thing is, David, you know, a lot of, generally they were men back in the day, lost their life in World War II, in Korea, in Vietnam, and other conflicts, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan and stuff, and not so much anymore. Nobody, when their remains were recovered, maybe years later, you know, nobody knew who they were. Nobody claimed them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we should still honor those people. They gave their life in service to our country.
Okay, I'm checking here. It's March 30th. That's next Saturday, 9:30, 9:45 at the Veterans Memorial Cemetery. I know that you're
on Buck Road in the freeway. If you come off on the main Marana exit, go down, make a right after you come left under the interchange on Marana Road and keep going to hit Luckett Road. Turn right and it dead ends in the cemetery.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. I know you'll be speaking Juan Siscamani's office is going to...
Push-ups.
Well, it's the volume's push-ups. Down. I don't know where that's coming from. That's a phantom ringer. But Juan Siscamani's office is going to, what is it, Ed? They're going to offer a official declaration of.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a good friend, as all of us are, I think, I hope, of the congressman. That is one busy guy.
Yeah. He seems to be everywhere, doesn't he?
He needs 40 hours a day.
Yeah,
and you talk about it. You know, there's another guy that works so hard. Yeah, I mean, this is, I know his wife, Laura. He has six beautiful children. The guy does a great job representing us in Washington, D.C., but he's been at so many events. We just had a press conference with Juan and talking about many communities in southern Arizona he has helped. And he was at our parade with a lot of his family.
Yeah.
And they walked the whole route. And, you know, out there waving to people and shaking hands and stuff. Juan Siscamani is a real person.
Yeah, he is. He's a really likable guy. And like you say, he works really hard for our community, our district here. What else you got, Ed?
Well, you know, I want to give some kudos to, and most people that know me, I know that I'm kind of on the right side of the political aisle. And our governor, Katie Hobbs, is on the left side of the political aisle. But I was giving her big kudos yesterday. The governor vetoed a horrible bill that came through the legislature, House Bill 2570, which was taking zoning away from every city, town, and county. And
thank you, Governor.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Thank you, Governor.
And you know what? The governor and I may not agree on a lot of things politically, but atta girl, Governor.
Yeah.
Thank
you
very much for saving our communities a lot of heartache.
Hey, Ed, for the listeners that aren't familiar with that bill, can you give us kind of like the Reader's Digest version of what that bill was trying to do with the zoning?
It was 1117 last year, and it failed. It came back as 2570 this year and squeaked through. What it basically did is took zoning and restrictions away from cities and towns.
It's just crazy.
And build 3,000 square foot lots with 2,500 square foot houses on them. And the bill was written by Spencer Camp, who is an attorney for the Central Arizona Home Builders. And it was supported by the far right and the far left, and most of the people in the middle didn't like it, but cities and towns didn't. What it would do is say in Marana, is it would take all of our zoning away, what color houses could be. So if somebody wants a pink house with green dots on it in your community, so what? They can do it. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't allow some of those things. You know, we want consistency. They could build whatever they want, whenever they want. And what the problem is infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You go in and build 1,500 homes on property that's zoned for 500. Do we have sewer, water, gas, electric, drainage, roads, parks, all the infrastructure to serve those people? No, we don't. And who pays for that? So it was an absolutely horrible bill. And, the governor bailed us out.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you another one she bailed us out on here recently, and that's the water thing out there in Skull Valley, where we've been basically giving the Saudi Arabians free water to grow their alfalfa, which is illegal in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
To send to Saudi Arabia to feed their thoroughbreds. And she put the kibosh on that, or is in the process of closing that spigot down. Here we have, living in a desert, and we're going to give the Saudians unlimited resources to grow their own alfalfa?
And it's not so much their horses, it's their cattle, dairy cattle and stuff. In Saudi Arabia, of course, water is more valuable than oil because of where they live. And what the Saudis would do with their billions of dollars of wealth, they would come to states like Arizona, buy land, grow alfalfa here, compress the bales, take them to a port in Mexico or California, and ship it back to Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
Well, the thing, because they can't grow alfalfa in Saudi.
It's illegal.
They have water.
Yeah.
And for using up our water. And I don't mind helping some of our friends nationally out, but it got to the point it was extreme.
Yeah, it was crazy. And it had been going on a long time, so there were a lot of guilty parties in there. But again, I'm a middle of the road person here, but I'm a big fan of those two things that our governor has done. So one more thing before we let you go, Ed, is you're running for re-election this year. And let's get into that a little bit, and we'll give some websites and stuff when we close out where people can get involved with you.
Well, the website, of course, is edformiranda.com, and that's F-O-R, not the number. And we would love people to go to the websites. I have done many, many podcasts.
Yes, you have.
With you guys at Live the Dream and on the local Miranda page.
Yeah.
Go listen to those podcasts on water, on streets, on roads, on policing and everything else if you want to learn about our community. But I'd like to do one more thing and kind of throw a prop for our state of the town on the 28th.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Don't try to buy a ticket. Because They were sold out a couple of weeks ago, unless you know a corporate group that bought a table of 10 and maybe has a couple of chairs.
Yeah, I've already picked them clean too, Ed.
You're not going to get, and we're going to have great people speaking. Carlos Valles from the Marana Chamber of Commerce Community Resource Center. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Leanne from Chase Building, who is building our new community center. And we're going to have David Sia from CTI, who moved from Rito to North Marana. And he's going to talk a little about that. And he's going to speak briefly about the Veterans Center Cemetery, because he's the new chairman of that volunteer.
That's awesome.
Wow. So we're going to have a wonderful event. And then I will come in and talk about a few things as well. But we're really excited about our... I think people are excited about Marana.
Yeah, they are. They are. I want to plug real quick that Carlos is, and Sophia are going to be in studio April 8th. We're going to do a live podcast from the studio with the food Marana Food Bank, Carlos and Sophia. And we're giving you a heads up. We're looking for monthly donors.
Yeah.
We're looking for people that can write a check or get their card out, you know, $20, $30, $40 a month to help the Marana Food Bank. And I don't have any current numbers on this, Mayor, but as recent as like 3 or 4 weeks ago, since December 4th, when the new food bank went into existence and started serving our clients and serving the community, we've reached like 15,000 people in that time frame.
Well, I can tell you that the Marana Food Bank, and, you know, Carlos and Sophia, but then you have Luis L. and Veronica that work actually at the food
bank. They're awesome. Yes, awesome people.
And we are serving more people than the regional food bank had been serving. And I think doing a more personable and better job at it as well. So
it's more of a shopping.
Oh, yeah. I think Sophia and Luis L. and some of them are going to have a table at the Founders Day. And if you'd like to be a volunteer of either funds or volunteer your time to help, we're trying to help people throughout the entire Marana community. And this food bank is not a town of Marana food bank. It's a Marana food bank, 501c3. And we serve people in El Tiro, Green Acres, Pitcher Rocks, Abra Valley, and everywhere else outside the town of Marana as well, taking care of the people in our community that need a little bit of help.
And its official title is Marana Food Bank and Resource Center. There's all sorts of things under that Resource Center umbrella, tax preparation, welding, phlebotomy. There's other things I'm working on with some people that are going to offer a lot of educational stuff. Edgar Soto, Vice President of Pima Community College, Desert Vista, I believe it's called. And Carlos, we had breakfast last week. There's a lot of things that we're working on behind the scenes with other members of the community to really be able to offer a viable service to not only help feed people, but help feed people and help them grow and help them become less dependent.
It's not a handout. It's a hand up.
It is. It is.
Write a check to this wonderful organization. It's MFBCRC, Marana Bank Community Resource Center. And you know, if you want to donate to help people out in our community that need a little help right now, please do so.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ed. Thank you so much. I will see you a little later.
Have a great day.
You
guys.
Too, sir.
Have a good one, Ed. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Ed. Whew. Boy, he just, that guy, he says Juan's everywhere.
Yeah.
That guy's everywhere.
Yeah. Hey, we got to go to ad break.
Okay.
All right.
Is that a hard cut?
Copper Creek Cookies, Copper Creek Cookies, CopperCreekCookies.net. We can print anything on our soft vanilla logo cookies. We deliver them and other sweet treats locally. We are located at 4249 West Ina Road, Suite 121. Call us, 520-300-1131. We bake smiles. Copper Creek Cookies, Copper Creek Cookies, CopperCreekCookies.net.
Hey, Scott, just little thing there. We got to hit the mic mute on that too, because we doubled it again on the ad. Remember the
I muted you guys all individually, and it maybe it sounded kind of okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think what happens
is
it
in the chat.
Yeah, I think it doubles in the feed. It's the strangest thing. We'll get through. We'll figure it out.
See these guys, and I'm just sitting here. Maybe I'm just like, I don't. Everything sounds great. Looks
great
to me.
Yeah, no, no. And that's what's funny is like, you know, we're gonna change positions.
Oh yeah.
During the show.
This is gonna be fluid.
You know, move.
This show will be fluid. Don't expect anything. Yeah. Don't expect any boxes in here.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. Like next week, I'll run the ship, and we'll have Scott out here.
Oh, beautiful.
And then we'll move it around. Whose phone is beeping? Is that yours, Clint? You owe like 50 push. No, don't throw it.
You know what I think it is?
He just threw it.
Somebody's got like an iPad or a computer that just happens to be in a bag somewhere that's popping off.
In a bag.
Yeah. I'll see if I can track it down. You guys just worry about creating great live.
I think it might award-winning material.
Is it in your office that's going off?
I think so. I think it's in here, and it's. I'm gonna dig around in a couple bags.
Okay. All right.
I just threw my iPhone across the room for no reason.
Whoever it is really popular. I think it's that. There's no denying that.
Yeah.
So.
I don't have any text messages,
so it's not me.
Yeah, I
don't mind doing push-ups like I did last time, but someone owes push-ups.
Okay, here's what happened. Years ago, that's what I did, and I took this thing out.
Yeah.
So we're gonna stop on that.
That was great hearing from Ed. You know,
For full clarification, we're all buddies with Ed.
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time with the mayor. He's a fun guy to hang out with. And he's a great resource of anything historical in Marana. Mm-hmm. Just a quick refresher, his parents opened the first water company in the town of Marana. And Ed and his brother, when they were like little dudes, were digging hose in the ground to run water pipe in the desert. And I've dug a few hose in the desert, and that's not fun. So there's some historical value. Did you find it, Scott? He's still searching for it.
He's still in there just trying to find whatever was beeping.
Yeah. I think it's my phone, honestly.
I don't think it's somebody's. Was it anything? Did you find it?
I did not find it because my iPad is dead in the water.
Okay.
So it's
all
not
right.
Mine.
So we.
It's still on Ecuador time.
That's right.
It's still jet lagged.
You have the 15, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can just hold that button down.
The silent button. I know where that's at.
Yeah.
I do know where that's at.
I know you threw your phone about 100 yards from here, but
there's not anything left. There's not that much left in there, I can tell you. And if I would use my right, for sure it didn't go that far.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, it's bracket season. Everybody's doing their brackets.
You doing it?
My wife asked me this morning. She's like, hey, you going to do a bracket thing? And I'm like, you know what? I know. No, I'm not.
You know, I've never done one.
I suck at it. I've never even gotten one. I've never gotten close.
Which is crazy because you would think I would. I'm kind of a geek about that
stuff. And this year is particularly weird because all of your top dogs did really bad in their tournament play. They all dropped it in the tournament play.
You see, probably, but
yeah,
this was a kind of one of those seasons where there was really no. At the beginning of the season, the Wildcats looked really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have not looked good since turn of the calendar year. They look okay, but they don't look like somebody just marching to a championship at all.
But nobody does.
No. Well, UConn kind of does.
Kind of does.
Kind of.
Who are they
does.
Playing though?
Yeah, well, there's your point because only three teams from the Big East got in.
You know what I love about this season though, March Madness, is when those 16 and 15 seeds take out a one and a two. Oh my gosh, I love it because not only that, like. I know that a bunch of people's brackets just got messed up.
Right, right. You know, we've talked about this a lot. I used to really watch, if it was on TV and it was an athletic of sports of some kind, especially basketball, football, baseball, college, pros, I'm in.
Yeah.
I don't have time anymore.
Yeah, that's
so
where I'm
at, like
man.
Binge watch. I'll watch a little bit of the Wildcats occasionally on a Saturday, but think about what we're doing on Saturday. You're either with your family. I'm usually working or traveling. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to sit and devote a couple hours to a ball game.
Yeah.
But March Madness through. Now, I will be busy. Kind of like the NBA is when the finals start playing out, especially the deeper. I'm going to watch a lot of NBA.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch a lot of college basketball, but I just don't have the time from October to March to just sit and watch basketball like I used to. And I don't necessarily, believe it or not, I've replaced it with things that are more valuable to me or more important to me. So I don't miss it. So I binge watch the March Madness, and then we flow right into the NBA. So I get my basketball in a two-week or two-month time frame. And think about it, the NBA, why are they even playing the regular season?
Yeah.
If you're an NBA fan, you kind of know what I'm talking about. What are we on?
I heard the beep again.
Well, you're
that's
really good
50
if you're hearing
push-ups
that.
Now. Is it your phone? Hold that button. Let's see what happened. Did it vibrate? We just won't discuss this
we're
anymore.
We're going to find
we're out. Just going to move on from this.
We say that a lot, don't we?
Yeah. We're just
we're not discussing
move on.
This anymore. I want to bury it. No, we're going to burn that sucker. We don't ever want to be able to dig it up again.
Full disclosure. Okay, Clint has only had the iPhone. He was an Android user for a long time.
I was iPhone first.
And then
went to Android.
You went to the dark side.
I'm just letting other people.
What were you doing over
there? Dude, I'm just letting other people buy my stuff. Kind of like my cars, my clothes.
So when
I pay a lot of bills,
Clint
but I
would
don't
send
really
me videos. When Clint would send me videos, they'd do like files. You know, hit a link and but for full disclosure, you haven't been on the smartphone thing too long. So it's a brand new phone.
Yeah, it's a brand new phone.
And they changed the silent.
And you know
thing.
What? It does not bother me.
Yeah.
But apparently it bothers his cat.
Oh,
and
man.
That, you know what? I like
a
his
cat
I'm I like your
stuff.
Finicky behavior. Yeah. I really like that because I'm serious about a lot of stuff, but I'm not serious about a lot of stuff. And what's really cool is the stuff that I'm really not that serious about.
Right.
You are. Mm-hmm. Which great. You can take care of that. You know, that's awesome. How much is that going to cost?
Yeah.
You know, that's all I really care about. What's the price tag? Okay, sounds good to me. Let's do this.
Yeah. So I watched a little more of the Godfather last night. I'm to the part where his brother got killed at the toll station. Did not see that coming.
That's brutal.
I did not
you
see
hadn't,
that
you've
coming.
You've never seen that?
No, I've never seen it.
That's pretty brutal.
Yeah, no, my gosh, like, they just kept opening up on
that's
him.
Brutal.
Like, it wasn't even discreet.
Did you see the next scene then after that?
Where they all met?
Where they're with the Undertaker and stuff? I don't want to give anything away if
no,
you haven't seen
no.
it. Okay.
They just finished their meeting, the five families.
Okay.
Because that was post.
Yeah. Yeah, I know where you're sitting in the big room and.
Yeah.
Nerd. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen it at least 50 to 75 times. And so I don't want to, he's watching it for the first time. So I don't want to give away any of it. Yeah. If you've never seen The Godfather.
Late to the game, man.
Because would you say this up until that point? Now, there's certainly some violence in The Godfather. It's a story about the La Costa Nostra.
Yeah.
So the mafia.
Yeah.
So there is violence attached to this, but really the movie as a whole isn't that violent of a movie. It's just when it is violent, even for its time, it was extreme.
Yeah.
There's definitely some scenes in there, and that one with Sonny at the toll gate is.
That one caught me off guard for sure. But it's like I said, it's a masterpiece, and I'm so late to the game that people probably. Like, you haven't seen The Godfather? No, I haven't, man. You know, I actually saw Scarface a long time ago, but
Scarface
I never.
Scarface is crazy. Scarface couldn't carry a water bucket for The Godfather,
no,
as far as I'm concerned.
No,
as far as,
no, I saw on Amazon, I think it had like 200,000 five-star ratings or something.
Yeah.
Like you get other ones, they have like 100, a couple hundred.
So he's late to the game with the Godfather. He's going to slip into Godfather 2. Now, I'm going to do a recommendation if you have seen both. Jump into a TV series. I think it's 10 parts, and it's on Paramount, of course, because Paramount produced The Godfather. It's called The Offer, and it's the making of The Godfather.
Yeah.
And there was some crazy stuff taking place behind the scenes. For a fact, and I mentioned this to you, Luca Brasi, who I'm not going to say what happened, Luca, the character. He was a real-time mobster. He was he was legit. He was part of Columbo, was the godfather at that time of the Columbo family, and he gave the blessing to the movie to be made, and when they were looking for the guy to play that character, they're like, well, how about Luca? Or his name was Montana. I can't think of his first name. Probably Joseph. Mm-hmm. But Montana, and he played the part. And him doing that character,
yeah,
that was for real.
Yeah.
I wasn't, he couldn't, he was not that good an actor. So when he was having struggles with his lines like I am right now,
yeah,
that was legit. So yeah, he just kept it in. It was, it's,
so where he's rehearsing what he was going to say.
Yeah, that's legit. I mean, they actually, they were just,
I was wondering,
they were
that
just
whole
filming him rehearsing.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was not, it, that was just the way it came off.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that makes it even better because it shows you how intimidated this guy was, as intimidating as he was,
uh-huh,
but as intimidated as he was by being in this environment.
Yeah.
With the Godfather, and didn't expect to be invited to the wedding and all this stuff. And so that is all for, like, for real. That's not pretend acting. That's a guy that couldn't get his lines right.
That's cool, because that's two spins that in the movie seem different, but then you talk about,
yeah,
the back end. The other one you were telling me about was when Mike Al Pacino goes into the bathroom of, yeah, that restaurant,
yeah,
and he's trying to find the gun that was put, yeah, away there. But
yeah,
he had rehearsed it.
Coppola,
and he knew where it was,
yeah,
at, but they actually moved it on purpose. So he'd go in there and be like trying to freak it,
yeah,
out, because it made you, it caused like suspense, like, oh man, it's not in there. He's not, you know, he's not gonna be able to do what he said he was gonna do. And so it's just,
hey, it's cool. The backstory is almost as,
yeah,
cool as the front story. And,
yeah,
I've heard it over years, and to see it actually portrayed in this Paramount series is actually pretty cool to watch it play out. Now, they take,
yeah,
liberties, like all shows do, of trying to enhance stuff and shorten time frames and all that.
Right.
But it's a pretty cool story. But you can't watch that,
yeah,
until you've watched the Godfather 1 and 2 first, because,
right,
it would make no sense to you.
Right.
So another one that we're watching, we mentioned it earlier, is The Playlist.
Yes.
And then another favorite, and it's coming back, The Bear. And they've already signed on. Now they are so cool about this.
That show's so
they're
high
doing,
speed, man.
They're doing seasons 3 and 4 together. They've already agreed to season 4.
Yes.
So they're shooting season 3 now, and they're jumping right into season 4 right behind it. So they're,
yeah,
doing both of them back to back, which is really smart.
I'm
think about
for that.
It.
I'm pumped.
David
for that.
Turned me on to that one. That one's like, really?
Yeah.
The first 15 minutes of episode 1, season 1, was like, what am I watching? Not that it was, there was no violence or any of that. It was just the intensity of this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to clock out and go home, because it's about working in a restaurant. I'm like, I don't want to be here. I still feel that way after the second season, but it's,
yeah,
like I can handle, because I've grown to, you know, care about some of these characters. But it's an intense show.
Yeah.
And every time I
doubt.
See it, I want an Italian roast beef.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. You know, I don't know if you guys saw this. This is off track from what we were talking about. But let's go back to Playlist. If you are like a young entrepreneur, I mean,
even if
you're a new entrepreneur, you've got to watch the show. It's about Spotify. But the cool thing about it is, like, seeing, and I'm not going to testify that the accuracy is like 100% of the thing, but is seeing the ways that the people involved pivoted in moments where they hit a wall. Like, even though they hit a wall, it wasn't over. Like, they were like, all right, well, we got to figure, like, the part where they didn't have enough server, they didn't have enough money to incorporate more servers.
Isn't
and to,
that a cool
to fund
scene?
The servers. He goes, hey, we're going to have to do peer-to-peer. And the one guy goes, I can't do that. Like, he even said, he's like, I can't do
and
that.
And the other
There's
guy's
no way.
Going,
no, it's going to.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Figure it out,
yeah,
right? Figure it out. And then he does. And it just shows, like, if you just give it a shot. Give it a try. Like, try to figure out this way to do
this.
Yeah.
Pivot,
yeah,
but don't change mission.
Yeah.
This isn't working. We got to,
yeah,
adjust. We got to move something.
Mm-hmm.
That scene right there, I hope that really happened.
Yeah.
Because that scene,
I think it did,
shared dramatically, is a really powerful scene. I do not want to give it away, because if you haven't seen it and you're watching it, when you see that particular scene,
yeah,
look for the peer-to-peer. It's in. Can we share this? The cool thing, I would encourage, if you're a nerd, a geek, an entrepreneur, any of that, you're interested in Spotify or how it got here, this is a great watch. And it's called The Playlist, and it's on
Netflix,
isn't it?
Disclaimer, it is a Swedish film.
Yeah.
So if it looks like when they're talking, it's dubbed, it is. I didn't know that.
It throws
right away.
You for a second, but they, you know what?
I didn't know that when
still
I first started
watching.
Still
one of the best dubbed movies Absolutely. I've ever seen because yeah. you got to really be paying attention to catch it.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, if you're like doing looking at your phone,
yeah.
you don't see it at all.
What I loved about it too is that it gives you the perspective of each person that was involved. So you have
that's where I wanted to go.
The creator of Spotify. You have his business partner who did all the funding and like
you've
basically
got six episodes,
engineers.
Each one of them the same basic yeah. episode, towed through the lens of the six main characters in the story. Yeah.
The law one was aside from the engineer one, the law one was the most intriguing to me because yeah. I always wondered that question, like how did this platform get a hold of all the music?
Yeah.
And it was crazy because when you first started watching, I won't ruin it.
Yeah.
But when you first started watching the show, you assume you think you know how.
Yeah.
Right. But the way it goes, it's just like it doesn't go the way you think.
They good storytelling.
Yeah.
Really, really good storytelling. Yeah. And the fact that you think, especially as you come the first one after you watch the first episode, then you kind of figure out what they're doing. I see. I don't think we heard anything, so I think we took care of that.
Yeah.
So you think you're watching a typical how you would watch a linear show. I'm mm-hmm. watching this through, and this is what's happening. And,
yeah.
and then you get to the very end, and you see the transition, which the first time you see it, you're not aware of what you're watching. And you mm-hmm. go, oh, well, so it's the next character's turn at telling the same basic story. And you're like, yeah, that didn't happen at all that way.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh.
That's not how it happened.
And so as I often say through our journey together, it's like, everybody's still got to, even if we're all at the same place in time looking at this, we're all looking at the Mona Lisa at the same time.
Yeah.
We still have different experiences because of angles, background, history, lighting where I'm standing versus lighting where you're standing, mm-hmm. the whole lens that we see anything in each other in. It's all the same, and yet it's not because we all have different experiences. So Absolutely. That's why back to the box,
yeah.
it's so important to be you.
Right.
Quit trying to be somebody else. They're already taken, as someone said. I don't know, what was that, Twain or somebody? Like, everybody's already taken.
Yeah.
Why don't you be the best version of you?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is. But too many people are afraid that, what will somebody think about me? Or what will somebody? And we, especially as we're younger, I think we're more susceptible or prone to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, as you get older, if you develop that mindset, you really don't care.
Right.
It's not that you don't care. But you don't care, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I would encourage, especially younger people, just be you. Well, and you know why? What if you're the one that's going to create whatever it is we need to move society along?
Mm-hmm.
You're cheating the rest of us if you don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Say you got the cure to cancer.
Yeah.
I need you to find it. Right?
Yeah.
Don't go down this path because someone told you to go when you feel you should go that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That show is so cool too because I grew up, like people in my generation, we grew up through the transition of Spotify's creation, right? We spent a lot of people spent time on those downloading sites like Pirate Bay that was mentioned in there.
Yeah. But, which, you know, still exists.
Yeah, like LimeWire and all that stuff. It definitely gave their computer AIDS.
Yeah.
Like just every disease in the computer world, you know what I mean? But seeing it go from, because I remember I'd have to take a CD I had and upload it to my computer. And then if I wanted to listen to it on iTunes, I could listen to it and I could add it to my device. It just was like so many steps and like just revolutionized music, right? Like it, but
well, you know what's funny is you tell that I'm picturing
eight
the
tracks.
First what? No, I'm long before 8-tracks. I remember when 8-tracks came
just using
out.
Records, right?
Records with the little 45s that you got the little, there's a name for it, but the little piece that fits in the 45 so it will fit over the pole, if you will, whatever they call that, so you can drop your needle down on it. You got to replace the needle cartridge pretty regular. And at one point, those things were extremely expensive, and especially if you bought the diamond mm-hmm. needle. I mean, like, I can't remember, but it seemed to me like $30, $40, $50.
Yeah.
Well, in that time frame, you could buy a car almost for $30 or $40 or $50. The 33, 78, 40, 45, 33 and a third. So we're talking about big vinyl disc. Mm-hmm. You know, it sets on arm. Now we have an arm that will drop down additional albums.
I'm exhausted already.
You know, I mean, that's how we did it. It was scratchy.
That's
it was just crazy. You know, and
I'm out.
And you could scratch a record. You go, and I have done this.
Yeah.
You get it, you scratch it the first day. What's ruined?
What do you mean it's ruined?
It's, you can't play it anymore.
So if it gets scratched, it's over.
It's over. Or it gets warped in the sun or any, I mean, these things were, I mean, they were like China, basically. And of two or three plays, the grooves start wearing out. You've heard of In the Groove?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because they're grooves. The grooves are in the record itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a nightmare kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then then we got sophisticated with our 8-tracks, which were actually you'd get about 2 or 3 or 4 plays out of a good, and the heads would be warble, and you'd find 8-tracks laying all over in trash cans and out in parking lots where kids hung out, and you got your 8-track with all the ribbon, with all the, yeah.
Wow.
Then we went to cassettes. Now we're living large.
I was in that. I remember recording stuff.
Now we're living large.
The radio onto my.
And you could take that little tab at the top of a cassette and punch it out. Well, now that saves it. Now you can't record over that. However, you could take a piece of tape and cover that little hole up, and you could record over anything.
Yeah. Piracy at the beginning.
That's what it was, baby. Well, you had to do it off the radio.
Yeah.
So you'd have your thing. And then they built, I don't know, roughly the 80s, it seems like it was a dual head thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you could play this and you could record that and you could do your 8-tracks or your VCR tapes and you could make a copy.
VCR, what does VCR stand for?
Video head system or something. I don't know exactly. I used to sell a bunch of those at Radio Shack.
Yeah.
And back in the day.
What were they? How much did they cost back then?
$600-$800. And that
year?
Is 1984, 1985.
$600.
So extrapolated out now in today's world, what is that? At least 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 times. So we're probably talking $4,000 in today's market to buy a VCR.
Wow.
And TVs, I remember a Curtis Mathis, a brand that doesn't even exist anymore. Beautiful piece of equipment, beautiful piece of furniture is what it was. A hard, heavy wood thing. It had maybe a 27-inch screen in it. Probably weighed, I'm not exaggerating, 250 pounds. It took 3 men and a small pony to move them. And, of course, we only had 3 channels. It was in color. And then they came out with surround sound. That was so cool. And that, by the way, that Curtis Mathis TV probably cost $800. Again, in today's society, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000.
Wow.
Cable first came out at that time. That was kind of cool. We did, and VH, I remember, what's the, MTV, which at that time was all videos. Which were really, they were cool.
Yeah.
There were some really cool videos, if you remember something, which you don't. That was before your time. That's probably, again, 1985. I believe you were born in 89. So,
yeah.
Dire Straits, Money for Nothing, Peter Gabriel, Sledgehammer. There were some really unique videos. I mean, they were pushing the limits at that time.
Yeah.
And now MTV, which I haven't seen
still
in
around?
Decades. Well, I don't think there's any music on it at all. I think it's more like a frat house party and reality show and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't watch much TV.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I don't think they're
Spotify,
on. I think they're on, no.
Apple Music and all that. You don't really need, I mean, you can just
what's crazy.
Watch videos on there. And well, on Apple you can. I don't know about Spotify. You can watch podcast videos. I don't know about music videos, right? I haven't really tried to, but.
You know, we don't get anything out of this, but I am going to push the playlist again on Netflix. That's a really cool show if you're a geek at all and or want to know what Spotify is all about. That's a really cool show.
So Curtis Mathis TVs from 1968 to 1988.
Okay, there you go.
It was the only full American-owned electronics firm and the only American television manufacturer. The company sold to Enhanced Electronics in 1988. Although no longer manufacturing TVs, Curtis Mathis brand is still used today with is still used today with innovative LED lighting products.
I'll be dang. I didn't know that.
That's crazy, huh?
I can picture right now. That thing was I'm not kidding.
It was beautiful.
The wood on, I mean, like, I mean, this thing is heavy.
Yeah.
You know, it was probably that it was as wide as it was thick.
Uh-huh.
And it stood maybe that tall, and it had a screen on it, maybe no bigger than that. So this is all components that went in it. And this right here, how do you even extrapolate? It's 1,000,000 times more powerful and has more access.
Right.
We had an antenna on that sucker, and it was that was a. I mean, I'm an adult at that time. Yeah. That was the one I bought for myself, and I was like the coolest kid on the block when I had that TV and my record player that did both. Man,
yeah.
I mean, when I see those stacks and you see them occasionally on Facebook, this was cool. And you see all these the amps, the preamps, the tuners, the players, and you'd have a rack 4 feet tall, and you had a usually a container of some kind, a, you know, rack of some sort to hold it.
Yeah,
that was to play a record.
Uh huh.
You know, man. Again. This yeah. and a couple of earbuds and
on demand.
I'm listening
everything
to the symphony.
Need,
yeah, it's crazy.
You can you believe it's been an hour and 20 minutes? So we're almost out of our window for broadcasting yeah. today. Which
hey, that how, went quick. How often do we say this around here? Again, Scott, chime back in. We haven't seen your handsome face in a
yeah,
while.
Are you but, live in there, Scott?
Yeah, you know, I did use the restroom. And oh. I just put it on autopilot for a second.
There you go.
Yeah, we were just circling there. And
yeah, so I found a good use for the wide shot. It's just bail and go use it. You know, but that's my bladder. My bladder's got 45 to 50 minutes, and then I have to bail. I was known for that, like, all throughout teaching the fire academies and stuff. It's like, oh, I know what time it is because my bladder tells me.
All I can say is Sunny
You're
Delight.
You're well hydrated.
Sunny right. Delight bottles. That's all I'm going to say.
Is that what you used in the trucking
business? I'm not
going
to say. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
Okay. That's you know, I'm getting a visual.
As long as it, yeah. Don't use a
when we're
Sunny
off.
D is very particular. Sunny, like, yeah.
There's somebody. A reason. We'll do that off camera.
Hey,
say, Abby says it's nice to see Scott on video live too.
Hey, Abby.
Yeah,
how
yeah.
Are
he's a, Scott's a real guy. Did you guys know that?
I am not AI.
Yeah.
You know, probably they're going to do AI directors, but we're not. We're the real deal. We're going to do the real stuff. And if you guys don't mind, because I'm a perfectionist, can we run that ad again? And I want to see if I can not get it to echo.
Like, okay.
We want to give Copper Creek cookies
there. Oh, absolutely.
Their okay. So let me give it a shot.
Okay. All right. You're in charge, man. Yeah. All right. Let's take an ad break.
Mute.
Copper Creek Cookies, Copper Creek Cookies, CopperCreekCookies.net. We can print anything on our soft vanilla logo cookies. We deliver them and other sweet treats locally. We are located at 4249 West Ina Road, Suite 121. Call us 520-300-1131. We bake smiles. Copper Creek Cookies, Copper Creek Cookies, CopperCreekCookies.net.
Yay.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah, nailed it. Got to get the reps in.
Yeah.
It's all about reps.
Yeah. So people are seeing us in our infancy.
Yeah.
In this whole thing, right?
Yeah, they are.
Because what's cool is like...
kicking, crapping our pants.
We have wiring all the way into this room, the stage area over there.
Isn't that crazy?
So you can just tap. And I think we even have wiring in the back of that room.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Way back in the day when we had no clue that we would even be doing this, we did that.
Yeah.
I remember Anton was talking about that. And we're like, let's run it all. We may need it.
Yeah, it's the craziest thing. Hey, Scott. That was awesome, man. Thanks.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate the opportunity. I think we need to train on the fly, and we're going to get real good at this. So.
It won't be on reels, though.
Yeah.
We're watching. Well, I mean, it's been pointed out my hands are like, I've got them in my pocket right now, if anybody can see.
You don't
got
to keep them in your pocket. See, so look at my posture here.
Dude.
Dove Mountain said no echo. No, see how I'm like, so I can kind of do this and that. Like, well, I get in yours a little bit too, but yeah, I don't know. We'll just figure out a different way.
We got a couple of perfectionists out here. Yeah. Thank God I don't fit that mode.
Yeah.
Good Lord. You know, we'll never have 100% score on any of these podcasts that we ever do together. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, no.
There's no way. There's no A pluses in my world. I'm satisfied with a B plus, maybe an A minus on most occasions. I'll live with that. But
yeah,
I want progress.
Right.
We talk about boxes. It's back to that. No perfection, only progress. What we got? Somebody's blowing it up. Look
They're
at Dove Mountain.
They're chatting.
I love it. Some
They're
of our favorite
here.
People right there. Abby and Steve out there, Dove Mountain Epoxy.
So You know, it's cool.
You know, they've got an exclusive here.
They do. So they're actually sponsoring. Dove Mountain Epoxy Floors is sponsoring the Marana Food Bank event.
I love
that's
it.
On live broadcast.
I love it. I love it. That's awesome. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Abby. We appreciate it. I want to real quick before we go, and I keep forgetting to do this. At this very moment tomorrow, Scott will be in this seat with Search and Rescue with Oral Valley Police Chief Riley.
Yep. Is that still on, or
are you guys sure about that?
It's in well, my not calendar. Live.
You're going to be, you'll be recording here in the studio.
Yeah.
Thursday?
We'll talk about that. I think it's, I don't even know what day it is.
Okay.
Yeah. But
okay.
Yes.
At some point, this episode will be available.
Because we know we're going to have the police chief on. We're going to have the Tucson Fire Chief here.
That's right.
In early April.
Yeah.
Got a lot of great connections for great content.
Yeah. Okay. Let me back that up. No specific date.
And you're talking about a program, Clint, that's not even out yet, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nobody can find it yet.
Yeah. So, you know, we say that a lot. It doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, so if you were trying to hold that back, Scott, Clint released it prior to your release date.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll build the plane as we fly.
It's a great program, though.
That's what we're doing now, isn't it?
Hey, right. Scott's in that room this time, but he's going to be out here next week, and he's good.
He's real
really
good
conversation. He's kind of taking, I know, in there right now, so I ran a live session the other day because I'm like, I need to be good at this, and that is a very difficult job, so people that are... that are watching and listening. It is a very, very difficult job. Yeah, you're doing, you know, 10 different things at once.
You really tweaked it back there.
Yeah. Even with the tweaking, I mean, we're going to need more for sure. I mean, he'll be able to tell us, hey, this is, I like this and that and all that. But so he's engaging right now and he's talking to people on Facebook and stuff. C's get degrees, Clint Peake.
Yes, I do.
So going back to social media again, did anybody see the SpaceX thing last night?
Yes.
Good gosh. I couldn't do anything on social media because everybody was posting about it.
My wife was like, Clint, get out here. And I'm like, and I'm moving slow. No, I mean right now. Dogs are going crazy.
My whole feed.
It was very cool.
Well, it was cool, but my whole feed was it.
Yeah.
It's like.
Sorry.
Y'all never seen that before? Yeah.
I hadn't seen that. That was wild. It was really wild. No, I hadn't seen that.
I don't think I'm alone in my feeling on that.
Yeah.
Wow. It's sunsets and SpaceX. Guaranteed feed. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I don't mind any of them, but I just was like, well, I don't need to be on here because I know what's going on.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Because I don't usually check till the evening. You know, I'm pretty dormant.
But I'd never seen it. Had you seen it live before? Huh? Have you seen it live before?
No, I don't need to.
Yeah. Well, actually, you... Actually, that is a totally different.
I've seen rockets before, but
that was really cool.
Yeah,
it really was.
For those of us that were helping small children in the Amazon rainforest, could you maybe help me out with what you're talking about?
Last night, SpaceX launched a Starlink add-on, and everybody was here's the thing with it: people are going, "Oh my God, what is it?"
Yeah.
It's like by now you haven't figured out that this
there
is
was a lot of that.
I'm like, this is like the 101 we've seen or whatever. I don't know.
It was pretty cool. It was a rocket that was going from my vantage point from basically north to south. I mean, from my angle into the west as the sun was setting, which even amplified the view. And you could see the rocket at the front burning and moving into orbit. And but it was low. I mean, we weren't talking about going vertical.
Mm-hmm. We're
talking about going horizontal.
Yeah.
And it basically went across the arc of the planet. I don't know where it was headed, but
is it horizontal because the Earth's flat, or is it? I'm just kidding. I'm messing around. I would love for Ray, my daughter, to see that though, because she loves airplanes and stuff.
It was cool.
But you could just
see
too late.
When I got there, the rocket had started about right here, and by the time I got there at, I don't know what, 2 o'clock on the clock, and by the time I got out, watched it, it was probably 10 o'clock in the horizon, and it was a glow. Yeah. I mean, it was leaving a serious trail behind it all the way across. And I think my son said it lifted off it in San Diego. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's 350, 400 miles from where I'm at. So, yeah. And at sunset, it was.
Yeah.
But I saw some really cool pictures. Our buddy J.D. Fritz had a really cool picture of it.
Yeah.
A couple of other people, Aaron Goldberg had a couple. They had some really cool pictures. I don't know where they were at. But
just keep naming all the people.
Yeah.
Keep
going. Yeah, well, Albert Reyes and Mary Murphy.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to name drop like crazy now that you mentioned. I mean, like you say, there was dozens of options to see this.
Yeah.
This thing. Yeah. From some, remember some pretty cool angles.
It's funny because, like, I saw, shout out. Yeah, JD does, he does insane. Yeah, I love his work. You follow his, you guys should, if you're listening,
good
follow
dude.
The Nightclaw Media.
Yeah, he's good.
That is really cool.
He's top drawer for sure.
Yeah. That's some of the best stuff. But, anyways, it's funny seeing all those pictures and everything. And then, I'm not going to say what news network it was, but they posted
they made,
a picture.
They made,
I'm
it, like, they made a try.
You're only an hour late. Like,
well, see, that's the beauty. Like, yeah. That's the very beauty of what we're talking. If you want to talk about outside the box and the new and the disruptors, we are the disruptors.
Yeah.
You know, and our fellow digital platform people we're the disruptors. You know, we just happen to have a title and a label, and we're building a network.
Yeah.
But this is really cool. We can share information with each other in a split second. That was kind of the thing that brought me to the dark side, if you will, with digital media, was your explanation how this whole thing worked.
Right.
You know, we could easily do this thing could be a 3-hour thing, but we're going to, for the sanity of any listeners that we may have, we're not going to do that today.
Yeah. Hey, before we get out, I want to highlight some stuff. So on thisismiranda.com, Lauren wrote an article about stuff to do for spring break. I know a lot of people are on spring break right now. So if you're looking for stuff to do with spring break or things that are around here, if you're just staying in town, go to thisismiranda.com. The top article should be the one about the spring break activities and stuff that you can go. There was one thing that was really cool she threw in there was, and somebody had just shown me this not too long ago. You can go to the Wheeler Taft Library and the Nannini one, and they have free admissions to different things in Tucson and Marana, like the zoo, stuff like you can go there and just get a free admission in there.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that.
Yet another incredible reason to be going to your local library.
Right. So if you're looking for something, you're strapped for cash, and I know times are tough, but she put that part in the article, and I thought it was really good. So shout out to Lauren on that. And then if you want to see photos of Mayor Ed on that fire, the 1949 fire truck that he was on, go to This is Marana on Instagram or Facebook. You can definitely see those photos of Mayor Ed on there.
Hey,
and some more.
And David took those pictures, and we were shouting out JD a while ago. David, you did it.
I'm
awesome.
I'm all right. Yeah.
No, those were awesome.
I got some. I got some.
They were really incredible. And I one more thing before we leave. That's local stuff. Is again, can't get tickets. I believe they're sold out. But if you do have tickets for the State of the Town, which is next Thursday, that we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Hey, Scott, so on the chat stuff, you see how there's the R there?
Yep.
When you go to reply, if you click where that R is, that little down arrow, you can reply to just certain platforms. Because if you don't, you'll be replying to everything. Like it'll go to YouTube and all that stuff. So people will see communications coming out, but they won't know what we're like. If we're addressing like Abby or talking to somebody on Facebook, YouTube, they're going to be like, huh, that's weird. It's just something to think about in the future. I mean, it's not a big deal.
They'll probably think that anyway about this podcast. They're just like, what was that?
Yeah.
It was weird. I just reloaded the stream because we had it dumped for some reason.
Oh, the chat?
Yeah.
Oh.
But the stream is good, but the chat went down.
Oh, no. Just on our end, probably.
Pause, shut it down.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's been a great
It's been
first
fun.
Episode.
It was fun. A lot of
you know,
fun.
It just
got a shaky start.
Yeah.
But
no.
It won't be the last shaky start or finish.
No,
and
no.
Scott,
we did just fine.
Scott, you
from
dude,
start to finish.
You
know,
rocked it, man.
We were beautiful.
If you tell yourself you did great, then you did great.
We did great.
Chat took a Sunny D break. This is why I love this part. A Sunny D.
That'd be
not,
code.
Not Tang.
That'd be code.
Sunny D break.
Specific reasons for that. I'll share with you off screen.
I know why.
Hey.
I think I know why.
Well, I probably said it, but I'm not going to say it right here in front of a microphone.
Well.
No.
You sure?
I'm positive. Shout out to Copper Creek Cookies, coppercreekcookies.net.
Way to change the conversation, man.
Yeah.
Not nice try.
520-311-31.
You know we're not regulated by FCC, so we can say whatever we want. You know that, right?
I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to say it on camera.
I think it has something to do with the circle size. That's my guess. I could be wrong.
Length and depth, circle size.
Some things are better left to be.
I've seen some small mini Sunny D bottles.
Yeah,
though.
No, I'm talking about the monster size.
No, they have the minis. I think they're like 4 ounces.
No, let me clarify. The 32, I need the 32.
Do you remember the hugs? The little barrels?
Yeah, no.
No. What were you going to say?
I'm not saying it. So.
You were going to say it.
Well, but I'm not.
Well, okay then.
Okay then.
So we're going to shut it down. All right, we got to get out of here.
It's fun.
Yeah, it was good.
We're looking forward to seeing you every Tuesday. You're going to see us a lot more than that. You're going to see Scott all over the place. Yeah. You're going to see David. You're going to see myself. You're going to see other hosts, other guests. We're going to turn this thing up.
Yeah.
If you're interested in being a part of this, reach out to us.
Yeah, come join us.
Throw some ideas at us. You know, we're pretty flexible over here.
So next week, we actually will have the third mic port installed here.
Cool.
Through the table and through the system. So we'll actually be able to have guests on here with us as well for certain hours. Yeah. So,
I don't know
cool.
why this came to me, but I think of a good buddy of mine from way back in the day. He's always said, there's nothing worse than a fool with a microphone. So here we are.
Yeah, well.
Thank you, Randy, for that little nugget of wisdom. He's not wrong, though.
No.
He's not wrong.
No. All right. Well, hey, we're going to head out. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, if you're just jumping in here right now, this will be available in a day or two on Spotify and some other places as a podcast. So again, we thank you for tuning in to the drop.
Can I jump in here? Now, do you really want it quicker than that?
What?
Call David, get your card out. We can make something happen.
Hey, if you're interested in advertising on here, so just reach out to us and we'll get you on here. Again, have a good one.
Thank you, guys. Hey, be good to each other.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Be good.